Hey Caffeinators, welcome to the Vet Tech Cafe. The Vet Tech Cafe is a podcast centered around veterinary technicians and nurses, hosted by myself, Dave Cowan, and my good friend Jeff Backus. We strive to discuss current issues facing our profession and give our colleagues a voice and a medium to enter into these discussions. Our guests are experts in the veterinary field that we hope can help our listeners work towards dealing with these issues, as well as coming up with solutions that can lead to change. If you have a question, comment, or would like to be a guest on the Vet Tech Cafe, please contact us at vettechcafe@gmail.com, or you can find us at our website, vettechcafe.com. One thing we would ask of you, our listeners, is to rate and review us on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. We're not exactly sure how or why this helps us, but apparently it does. So without further ado, come on in, grab yourself a cup of coffee, and get ready for another episode of the Vet Tech Cafe.
Hello, Caffeinators. Welcome to another episode of the Vet Tech Cafe, where you can hitch up your horse right outside. We put in some new hitching posts and a water trough out there, so you can just ride over to the Vet Tech Cafe now.
I love it.
We would like to thank all of our Caffeinators for their continued support by repping our merchandise and patronizing us. Christmas is coming, so if you need a gift for that veterinary technician in your life, what better gift than Vet Tech Cafe swag, right? If you have any questions, or if you're new to the podcast, head over to vettechcafe.com. You can find all of the info about Dave and I, why we do this, some of our previous guest info, all that fun stuff. So be sure to like us, subscribe us, follow us on all of our channels. We really, really appreciate it. Dave, how's things going out there?
Things are good. It is 80 degrees in North Carolina right now.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to be frank here. This is why I moved to North Carolina, to have 80 degrees in November. So things are good out here. I was just at NCVC last weekend, met up with April Bays, and got to hang out with her for a little bit. So that was great to see her.
Wonderful.
And I'm still kind of on my post Austin trip, taking it easy and not working a whole lot. So I'm kind of taking it easy this week. I have one shift that is going to be all day, but other than that, I'm just sort of kicking back and enjoying a little bit of time off.
Nice.
How are you guys doing out there?
We're good. We're good. I like how you say you're on your post Austin trip, taking it easy, yet went to a veterinary conference in there to work anyway. But
well,
that's just what we do, right? That's part of the problem. That's what we do. But we're good out here. I was a little under the weather this past week and missed a couple of days of work. Randomly had a fever, which I haven't had a fever in I don't know how long. And Daphne had a fever yesterday, so that was a bit of a bummer. But it's cool out here. It's in the 50s today. It's a little rainy, which
wow. It doesn't happen that often.
Right,
where the weather here is warmer than you.
Right, no kidding. And you know, it's nice. I mean, you know, we don't really fall here in Southern California, but it's nice to have a little bit of a cooler, wetter spell. You know me and weather, I will take any of it anytime.
Oh, I know you will.
So yeah. I think we have a really, really cool guest on today. Somebody we've known for quite some time, who's really doing some amazing things in veterinary medicine and in our realm. So I think we should just jump right in. What do you say?
Well, she's also one of the partners for the Recover Challenge that
yes,
we did.
Yes, absolutely.
Where the VTSs beat the
yes,
DAC,
absolutely, so. Absolutely. So we have Becky Giacomini coming by the Vet Tech Cafe today, and she began her veterinary nursing career as a CVT in 2003 in a small animal general practice, like many of us do, kind of transitioned from that a short time later and got her VTS in emergency and critical care in 2012. And has been an active member of the Avectin Academy ever since. She's served as the recertification chair, was a member of the mentorship committee, and was on the Recover Education Committee as well. She's a VEX ambassador, a Legacy Recover Initiative member, and worked as an administrative assistant for Recover Initiative for years. She has always had a deep passion for learning, education, and training initiatives, and is on a mission to create true and lasting industry change. And as such, in 2017, she founded Veterinary Nursing Solutions, which is a training and consulting firm specializing in real-time clinical touchpoints and employee management and retention strategies. Most recently, her company launched The Attending, which aims to bring evidence-based medicine and best clinical practices to the masses through a remote, live clinical training and telementorship. I love that phrase, telementorship.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that platform that connects clinical experts to working professionals on the clinical floor in real time. She's positioned herself and Veterinary Nursing Solutions as a skilled thought leader and service provider in the learning and development space. She's currently working on additional products based on the variety of services VNS offers and strategizing ways to iterate the attending for the best market fit for 2023 and beyond. So Becky, thank you so much, first of all, for taking some time out to come to the Vet Tech Cafe and hang out with us for an hour and talk about all this super cool and innovative stuff you're doing. I feel like you're going to need a cup of coffee to talk about all of this. So what can we get you?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm a huge fan. I've been listening to you for years. And again, yes, we've known each other for many years on and off, like just through the academy, right? And like same testing year, if you will. But I'm very honored to be here. My chosen cup of coffee in my Don't Forget to Be Awesome mug is a simple pour over with coffee grounds from a coffee roaster here in Colorado. So there's pretty much just as many coffee roasters as there are breweries around Colorado. So
sounds like we need to move out.
We should be living in Colorado.
Right? Yeah, I mean, there's other things here too, but yes, it's my most favorite coffee. So
awesome.
You guys get the coffee.
Awesome.
Pour over roasted stuff.
Right on. Okay. Well, if you don't mind, I know I mentioned a few things there, but take us through your career path, kind of what got you into veterinary medicine, some stops important points along the way, and then into what you're doing now. And that's kind of where we'll jump off and go from there.
Yeah. Awesome. I think just like most of us, we were probably animal lovers growing up, right? So my story always starts from childhood, you know, just grew up with animals, suburb, you know, not necessarily farm life or anything like that. But I did start riding horses when I was 6 years old. So I was very exposed to farm life and horses. And I think anybody that knows the horse background or you come from that kind of riding training background, whether or not you have some medical side of it, there's always more extensive care that you're providing these large animals, right? Because they can't necessarily hop in a car and pop over to the facility, you know, to the vet hospital just for a simple laceration repair, right? Or, you know, to check some things out. So I got into, caring for animals quite early. I do come from a nursing family, a human nursing family, my mother, my aunt, just so many people kind of within our realm. So I think I just grew up with that nurturing environment. And nursing, come to find out, is in my blood, right? So I ended up first initially studying equine science at college. In high school, I did want to be a veterinarian, but again, this was, almost 30 years ago.
Yep.
I graduated high school in 1998. So in high school, like I never got a job down as a, you know, an assistant or kennel assistant down at the veterinary hospital, but I was very interested in veterinary medicine as a career path. But again, at that time specifically, there wasn't a lot known, right, surrounding other areas that you could move into besides just being a veterinarian. So, okay. And I was a little, I don't want to say lost, but I was a young wandering soul, if you will. So I didn't have a crazy focus. I wasn't like, I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a doctor. It wasn't that. So out of high school, moving in to college, you know, again, big horse girl, went and studied equine science. And there's some healthcare stuff in that, you know, management of herd management and stuff like that, but really was into horses. And so my first career was actually as a horse trainer. So I have that huge horsey background. And then I ended up with a client one time. I must have been 22. My sister, she was in the Peace Corps in Africa, living in Africa. And there was just something at that time. I was training horses. My sister's in Africa doing things with like HIV and AIDS. And I just felt like there was something bigger calling me. I just felt like there was something bigger calling me. And a client that we had at the horse farm, she was like, you should look into veterinary medicine and like look into being a tech or an assistant, right? Those loosely, you know, worded terms that we'll get into a little bit later. Yeah. But so yeah, my first GP practice was on the job trained as an assistant. They did call me a veterinary technician, but you know, we all know, you know, I was running anesthesia and had not a lick of what the heck I was doing, all the things back in the day. But I remember even then, you know, 4 or 6 months in without any training under my belt, you know, we would be just done with a spay or neuter, some anesthetic case, and the surgeon, you know, the doctor would want to go take a lunch break. He would leave the clinic and I would vocalize, I'm not comfortable. This animal is not even extubated yet. At least I knew the term extubation. Right. And I knew that I wasn't comfortable. I did not know enough to like monitor these patients without as somebody more knowledgeable and trained and credentialed in the building. So at the very beginning, you know, as I was always a vocal person and just saying, hey, I'm not comfortable. Or I started off just being like, wait, this isn't right. This doesn't feel right. So into general practice. And yeah, after that, I ended up moving to the DC area, so Northern Virginia, and stayed in general practice and decided to go to school, moving back to Colorado, going to tech school. And that's when I entered emergency medicine. So during tech school, it was my first year in emergency practice. So I was doing like full-time academic work, full-time clinical emergency work. There were even times where I would be working overnights all weekend and I would have Monday morning classes and I would literally just be standing at the back of the classroom in a dim lit PowerPoint situation, just with coffee, you know, just trying to get through class. So I ended up, you know, starting on the job, ended up going to school, getting credentialed, went into emergency medicine, and I just fell in love with it. And I had the pleasure and the privilege and a blessing, if you will. My first emergency and specialty hospital was probably one of the premier private specialty hospitals in the country at the time, like almost 20 years ago. So it was really extensive. I mean, we had 12 specialties back then. I was working with VTSs back then. I mean, there were at some points back in that day, there were at least two or three VTSs that we had on staff. Like, that was huge back in the day, right? And that first hospital had an amazing training program. Back then, it was a requirement that you were like in training for about 4 weeks back then, like that, in a sign-off list and all of the things. So I think I just fell in love with training at that time. Like, I fell in love with the learning and development. And then there I was also having gone and having had experience with horses and horse training, like anything that you learn, you do, and then you teach. Like, I've always been in that place with anything that I do, and including college. I ended up studying chemistry at the University of Colorado at Denver. I ended up becoming an organic chemistry TA for a couple of years. So any of those, like, learned you? Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah.
No O-chem for you, Dave?
No, I'm all set. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I'm out.
We're good. Yeah, I'm one of those crazy people that really, really loved O-chem. So yeah.
No, somebody has to.
Somebody has to.
Right.
Somebody's got to make it make
Otherwise,
sense
who teaches time. It?
Right. Yeah.
Who teaches it? And that is, I'll just plug this right now. That is something that is, because part of what you do as a podcast is, you know, provide insight to other realms that we as a profession could do. Tutoring, namely in O-chem or any of that classic undergrad, you know, science, biology, chemistry level. Tutoring has always been a little side hustle for me, where as techs, we might need some extra cash here and there, mm-hmm. right? We all know what our pay scales are. So that's just something to think about. If nobody's ever done that, may I recommend Wyzant? I'll just plug them right now. I don't know if have you guys ever heard of Wyzant before?
No,
heard of them, but not, yeah.
It's WYZANT.com, I believe. You can go and, find tutoring, but you can easily sign up to become a tutor. And it's amazing. I love the platform. They've been around for many, many years. So that's my little plug there for anybody that does, again, love to teach. They have that experience. They have some, and it can be anything. I've even done volleyball classes on that before because I did volleyball in college. So, and I did find veterinary technology and veterinary medicine. It's very minimal on that platform. And I'm actually becoming an affiliate partner with them. And trying to talk them into getting a little bit more of a platform for veterinary healthcare, if you will. But I'm very proud that
like a whole other episode.
Yeah.
A whole other episode, right?
I love it.
Side note, whole other episode. Like, when you go and you're like, what business are you in? Do you ever do that? Like, what business are you in? And you tried it, like accounting and blah. And then there's healthcare. And then it's like all the way down to other. Mm-hmm. If we're lucky, there might be something like veterinarian, like the IRS. We can choose veterinarian for our federal government, but we have to always select other or something.
Or healthcare.
And it's like, or healthcare. I'm always selecting healthcare.
That's what I'm usually
putting. I'm always selecting healthcare. But then it's like, why not veterinary healthcare? Like, why not start to provide that realm? Because we are a huge industry. And so that's just a whole, I go off it. I digress. That's tangent number one. Yeah. So Wyzant, I was just really fortunate to actually recently, I think as short of a time ago as 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, I think it was just before the pandemic. There was a veterinary technology student that hadn't passed her VTE yet, and she found me on WiseAnt, and she had tried to pass, I think, 3 times over a 2.5 year period. I worked with her for, I think, 3 months, 3 or 4 months, once, maybe twice a week through this WiseAnt platform. And again, these are other things that I'll talk about with my company that I've kind of moved into, but so pleased that I was able to like help her and she passed with my assistance.
Oh, that's great.
It was so amazing. Right. And I think some of the things I'd love to dive in a little bit deeper with here in the future, you know, as we continue on in this conversation, is so much of training and development is a lot of not just the clinical skills, not just the knowledge, it's the stress level and management, how to take a test, how to do A, B, and C, how to handle stress on the clinical floor, how to communicate well, like softer skills or like things, true mentorship, right? How to kind of overcome your own mind and how to manipulate it, if you will, right? To get out of those stressful situations. Because that was 70% of the work that I did with this one person that I helped pass that couldn't pass for 2.5 years. So it was very amazing. I feel very blessed to have done that. So that was kind of a little jump forward, but emergency and critical care. I basically have moved around a lot. So I very much respect people in careers and industry that have a lot of tenure at facilities because I don't have that experience. And I've never worked academia. So I'm always like impressed with everyone that's worked academia. That's another subject matter to get into. I've never taken an academic job because to me, the pay hasn't been as supreme as private specialty practices. So that's, I know you guys have mentioned that in some past podcasts before, right? And all these topics that we've talked about. But yeah, emergency and critical care, I basically practiced in Colorado and the DC area most of my career. And I spent a short stint in LA. So emergency critical care, that's been my baby. That's been my passion. As well as just as much time has been spent on the anesthesia surgery side. So I think for us VTSs, I always say there's like 50% of us that are super into anesthesia. The other 50% are like, peace out. I'll let you take those anesthetic cases. So I'm one of those passionate, you know, anesthesia people. I was actually going to build my VTS in anesthesia first and moved during that application year. So I kind of threw that to the wayside and then ended up going for ECC. So I think I'm going on 19 years here this next year, which is crazy to hear and think about and say. I was just thinking about that in preparation for this podcast. Back in the day, would I have ever thought that this was a career? No, not really, honestly.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you guys are doing, what I'm doing, like what so many of us are doing in industry to pursue this and push this and advocate for our profession, that this is an actual profession, right?
Well, and I also think, I think about, like, you know, we want respect and all that stuff and people to treat what we're doing as a career, not just a job. But, you know, that's another thing where we are doing that to ourselves. I mean, until I became licensed and, you know, kind of advanced, I didn't think of this as a career. I thought of it as a job. But
yeah,
I think we all, even amongst ourselves, we need to treat this like a career if we want other people to think of this as a career as well.
Yeah.
And I would even venture to say, so I did end up, so I'm speaking from this from two perspectives. So I ended up teaching at an academic program, you know, an associate's program for a few years. So I have that background and purposely would tell students, it's like preparing them for the reality of this industry, for the reality of what they are going to face, because I don't think I got that in my school, right? Mm-hmm. It was a professional preparation, but I don't know as if we ever had, let's talk about the elephant in the room discussions, right? And that's kind of one of the areas that I've started to excel in more and more, namely with what I'm doing and with business and starting to have those really, really difficult discussions with large, like high key stakeholders, executives, et cetera. We have to start with people coming into industry, like in the tech programs, vet students, veterinary medical students, right? Like we have to prepare them appropriately. And I think there's a huge focus on them for, you know, for good reason. But I don't know as if we have it across the board in tech programs where there's truly an advocacy, if you will, to say, this is going to be really hard. Your mental and physical health will most likely 95% chance going to be affected, right? What's the longevity of our career at this time? What is it still like 3 to 5 years? I mean, career length.
Yeah.
Not necessarily switching jobs. Like that's, you know, to outside industries, it's a crazy statistic. And I think that's something that we need to keep addressing. We need to keep attacking and from a variety of, you know, standpoints.
Well, and also just the longevity, you know, Jeff and I are big sports fans and, you know, the longevity of some of our athletes are, they retire at 39 and everyone looks at that and says, wow, it must be nice to retire before even 40. And now we have our profession where people sometimes retire at 30, you know, because they're just done with it. But I think we need to somehow figure out a way to make that switch.
It's crazy. I mean, just some of the things that are going on in our industry, the hazards that we have, the physical hazards, the mental health hazards. I mean, I guess I haven't even looked at the last year or two, but we were one of the number one dangerous professions in America for years running. And, you know, I was just talking about the other day to somebody, again, people are like, what, why is that a dangerous profession? And I'm like, well, let's talk animal bites for one. Yeah. Let's talk that. Let's talk the physical stress. Like we do not have an ergonomic setup. Right. Kudos to hospitals, kudos to architecture firms, like kudos to all the equipment manufacturers, kudos to all the people that are trying, right? But it is not a standardized situation in our industry. 20 years standing and kneeling. And I've always gone down on the same knee, my right knee. Mm-hmm. It's a habitual, just physical thing. Like I'm right-handed, right? I'm always kneeling down on my right knee. So my right ankle is always hyperflexed and extended with maybe some weight on it. My left knee is upright and relaxed, if you will. So I have routinely had sports injuries. I'm like, all of my injuries are on the right side of my body. And I'm like, I wonder if it's from my profession and just habits that I've put myself into, right? Yeah. So just one of the biggest things I always recommend to younger veterinary technicians, nurses coming up the way, younger meaning just new, you don't have to be age demographic younger, but a lot of them are, right, is just to physically stay healthy. That's all I can say is physically stay healthy, like lift weights, stretch, do yoga. It's so important. Keep a healthy diet because God knows that we're fed pizza all the time just to try to keep us somewhat happy. And it's just like, quit feeding people pizza, go buy Subway. It's probably cheaper. Or go get a bag of walnuts and some fruit and veggies. I'm sorry, kids. It's probably not like the most favorite thing to eat, but your body and mind are going to thank you. Your patients are going to thank you. You're going to have more clarity on the floor. You know, it's stuff like that. I think we just, the small things, you know, people are trying and doing, but it's difficult because it is a dangerous profession. And I think we do need to go back to a variety of entry points in industry. I was just mentioning intro to tech programs and veterinary medical programs to prepare people for what's going on. And that's just one way to attack some of the issues going on in our industry.
Well, and before we get into your business and the VNS, we like to always ask our guests, where do you feel like we are as a profession? What are some of the things that we are doing right? What are some of the things that we need to fix?
Right.
And how are the three of us going to fix it this afternoon?
Right. Ooh, this afternoon.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Solving the world's problems. Yes.
1 hour at a time.
One podcast at a time.
Yes, yes.
So I think, said with all the love in my heart, and because I've been in this for 20 years, we're an industry that's failing and flailing right now, I feel like. We're at a pivotal point. A pivotal tipping point. And I think the pandemic has highlighted some of the issues, but these are not new issues. And I feel like so many people in industry, namely the key stakeholders. And when I say key stakeholders, I mean decision makers. So practice managers, maybe some doctors who are those business owners, right? Executives. I don't know as if they truly understand that this problem has been going on for decades. We've been talking about the same freaking thing for decades.
Yep.
And I mean, I've been, again, 20 years, it's been the same issue or similar issues, if you will. And even before then, people that have come before us, you know, Dave and Jeff, like they've been dealing with all of this stuff for decades before this, right? You know, we need title protection. We need scope of practice. I personally thank my state and the team at the CACVT, the Colorado Association of Certified Veterinary Technicians, led by Executive Director Erin Henninger. Mm-hmm. Yes, she's a VTS and ECC. Yes, she's a good friend of mine. Yes, she was one of my actual mentors who I used to work with back in the day. She's been a huge role in my career, and she's doing amazing things for our state and her team. There's a whole team. There's a whole, you know, backbone to that. Her name and face are just there, right? But she's leading that team. So we've got to give kudos to that. And basically, come January 1, 2023, we are now going to be recognized by DORA, the Department of Regulatory Affairs. They are the ones that oversee any licensing, veterinarians, medical doctors, nursing, estheticians, anybody with a license. This is who is overseeing that, right, and regulating that. And I think it's crazy. Again, I'm just going to use this word crazy all the time here in this podcast.
That's all right.
So maybe a drinking game if anybody's listening to this later tonight. How many times does Becky Giacomini say the word crazy when talking about industry?
Maybe we won't have her on for our mental health episode.
Oh, boy. Right. I'm so sorry about that.
That's all right.
So anyway, I think it's very interesting why we have not really, it's taken to year 2023 to have, again, the first state to regulate us under DORA. So I think that's a beautiful thing. And it's not just title protection. It's also scope of practice protection. And unfortunately, and again, there's similar to like the Veterinary Nurse Initiative and all the amazing things that are going on out there on both sides of the aisle. When I say both sides of the aisle, whatever your choice is of the verbiage of what we are called as a title, I think we all want the same thing. And I think that's where the conversations need to move forward, maintaining that bridging of the gap, maintaining that open communication pathway between all viewpoints and the dissent amongst the ranks, right? The moment that you think that you know everything in this industry, in medicine, you need to leave. Like, you should always be challenged, right? You should always be in this creative mindset. And when I say creative, more curious mindset as to what else is out there. Is this truly the truth? What are other people's opinions? And I think that's just a common lack of area that we have as a society in general right now. Think politics, all of those things. But it's so important to continue to fight the good fight for technicians, doctors, anybody in industry, whatever career path they're going down, to stay in the industry as much as they can, right? Like, I think you guys have thought about leaving industry, right? But I don't think you actually have.
We haven't, no.
I've left industry briefly a couple of times for less than 6 months each, but I had to like leave and take a sabbatical. I left when I was 30 and I was like, ooh, screw this. Something happened at the hospital I was working at. I did not feel valued. I was not a VTS yet, but I left industry and just went and trained horses for 6 months, going back to that horse thing, right? Mm-hmm. And as soon as I left, I missed the medicine, but I did not miss the drama or miss some of the lack of oversight and all of those aspects.
Well, you got some of that drama because I am tangentially in the horse world, so I know that there's drama when you're training horses.
Yes, I know, right? Or the horse people themselves.
Horse people themselves.
I only say that because I am one, so yeah. That's fine. Yeah, so I think it's a big issue our industry is facing. I think with big, huge issues, there's not one answer.
Right.
I think it's very strategic. And that's for me where I've kind of ended up with my companies and my passion, like overlying need, overlying my experience, and then overlying my passion together. That's where I've started to kind of go into this learning in a development realm, and specifically catering to businesses. Like, I think businesses change the world. I don't think government changes the world. I think government sets standards and maybe substandards, right? They're a baseline standard. If we have them, again, we don't have all the credentialing, title protection, scope of practice protection. And even if we do in our industry, let's face it, everybody, all these states, California, New York, Virginia, I can mention them, ones that have hardcore bylaws, title protection, all the things, are the hospitals at the actual clinical practice level. Are they following the law? No. I would even go to venture to say, I think it would be very interesting if there were like undercover things that started to go down in our industry and we started to kind of whistleblow and talk about, even if it was just a basic concept of the standards, the safety standards, like for us as a work profession. I think I just think about that because my cousin is actually in DC and works for the government in labor laws. She like, so when we get together and talk about things, like she's out there fighting for international labor rights. And I'm just like, I talk about our industry and she's just like, what is happening? Right? Like, so I just, it's, you know, I'm very, I always have this very creative mind, you know, that goes down that rabbit hole of like, what if we whistleblow? And
sure. Who knows, but. Sure. You know, so you mentioned business in there. Let's go ahead and start the veterinary nursing solutions and ultimately the attending conversation. So what is veterinary nursing solutions? What's its mission or main focus? What does it do? Let's start there.
So Veterinary Nursing Solutions, my little elevator speech, it's a training and consulting firm in veterinary healthcare, specifically small animal medicine. And we focus on real-time clinical touch points. So whether or not we come into your facility and train, we work on digital assets that are going to be utilized in real time. So think learning and development infrastructure, courses, whole organizational learning and development design, even just SOPs, right? Or most recently, remote live clinical training. And we launched that through our product and hoping to move that into a separate company officially, which is called The Attending. So the other aspect of Veterinary Nursing Solutions is our consulting branch. With consulting, our main focus is employee engagement and retention strategies. Within that realm of employee engagement and retention strategies, our focus and our expertise has become learning and development. Because if you invest in your team and your staff, there's evidence out there among cross industries globally that we are going to engage and retain our staff by dramatic numbers, right? And I think that's the biggest thing that we're missing in our industry. So learning and development, open source change management. So open source change management and then an interdisciplinary approach, all evidence-based, all good, you know, global gold standard evidence-based practices. So medical standards, adult learning standards, change management standards. So when I say open source change management, I think that's another key area that I have found over the years, one in my employee experience working for hospitals, as well as in my business experience, consulting, working with companies and going in to help problem solve and provide solutions with them alongside them. I think there's a huge area of need in management and leadership. I think this comes not just from veterinary industry as well. I think this is a place that we are in society right now and what we've learned from management practices from the 50s, 60s, 70s, right? Like we've learned and there's been standards, but things have evolved and developed. And anybody that's in the, you know, management area or industrial and organizational psychology area, leadership, like just forward thinking, like the last decade has really brought a lot of amazing evidence in a lot of, again, adult psychology, employee manager or business owner psychology and relationships, relational psychology there. And those are the things that I've been studying over the last 5 years and where I've kind of moved my company and where I see the area of need. And again, it goes back to that change management. That's a huge issue in our industry is understanding change, understanding how to implement change, and understanding how to lead a team through change. One email to a team saying, hey, we've just hired a VTS. Please welcome them. They come with a wealth of knowledge, done and done, and not expect people to know what a VTS is, how to utilize them, et cetera, et cetera. Or, hey, we've hired a trainer and we're going to, you know, go through this training program or, you know, we're making some change and they just announced something via email and expect their team to understand what's going on instead of leading a team through change over months. It takes so much time for people to really get through change. It's like, just speaking to the audience, it's like, I don't know if you guys have ever heard that it takes like, what, 90 days? 60 to 90 days to like really truly ingrain a habit right in you.
Yeah.
And that's doing it almost every day, right? Like that is a perpetual kind of repetitive thing to basically make a task a habit. That's human psychology. So it's very similar with marketing. And, you know, you have to kind of get in front of people multiple times, or learning. You have to learn it multiple times and at various stages. Learn, do, teach. You're going to learn something within an hour or two. You're probably going to lose about a third of it. Within 6 days, we know that what you just learned 6 days ago, you've lost almost two thirds of that information and you've only retained about a third of that. And when we're talking about medicine and saving lives and making some of those decisions, learning and development has become such an important thing. But also, I can come in all day long and train your staff, but until your management team and your key stakeholders lead the way in that and continue to follow up with that, hence change management and buy-in, we're not going to make true and lasting industry change. So with my companies, again, my personal mission, my company's mission is to create true and lasting industry change. And this is kind of where we've niched out our little market and where we find passion. And I've built a great team. I don't have any full-time employees, but one of the reasons why I have built what I've built is I want to provide another area, a career choice for people like us, VTSs, that or any technician, anybody that is basically like the glass ceiling. They limit out, right? Like, and they want to continue to do something, or we want to make industry change. Like, we're passionate about this, and having experienced what I've experienced and the reasons why I started all of this, which I'll get into in a little bit. It's again, just a place to create another outlet for us. And that has been a passion of mine and a goal I've reached, as I've been able to employ via 1099. So employment versus contracting work, that's a whole nother thing that we need to be very careful with. That's a whole nother side now on the business side and working relief and all of that. Like hospitals, I'm just going to make another plug. Hospitals cannot be legally hiring technicians as 1099ers. I'm sorry, but that is actually illegal in most states. They have got to hire you as per diem employees if you're just doing per diem work, right? Or under an actual legitimate business. That's my understanding in most states. Obviously, I'm not a legal expert, but just my experience with business and what I've been challenged with some of these individual hospitals trying to hire me on. And I'm like, you either get to hire me through my company, and if that's the case, here's a contract, right? Or it's per diem employment. And even to this day, like to this summer, this year, issues arise. And it's just that, again, goes back to businesses and those business decision makers making these wrong decisions. So anyway, I digress and lost train of thought a little bit, but there's That's a lot right. of points there.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack with all that.
Yes.
10
yes.
more episodes. What do you want to unpack first, or anything that I said that like rung true that you want to just dive into?
Well, why don't we take a little break here? We'll pay some bills and we'll come back and we'll get to that when we come back from the break.
Sounds perfect. Good. The Vet Tech Cafe is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp Online Therapy will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in under 48 hours.
It's not a crisis line, and it's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online that's more affordable than traditional in-person therapy, and financial aid is available.
Caffeinators receive 10% off the first month using betterhelp.com/vettechcafe. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. To join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your therapist, and you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy.
Don't take our word for it. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily at betterhelp.com/reviews. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/reviews.
If you want to take charge of your mental health, visit BetterHelp.com/VetTechCafe and get started today and get 10% off your first month. Be well, caffeinators.
All right, everybody, we are back. Welcome back to the Vet Tech Cafe, where the pizza parties don't have an ulterior motive. We just like pizza. So, Becky, we always like to come out of our break, our ad for BetterHelp, discussing mental health. And, you know, as a vintage tech like Jeff and I, you talked about your times where you've actually left the profession. So how do you deal with your mental health now? How do you make it so that you don't have to, like, say, I got to step away from this profession?
I think it's a super important topic. So I just want to address that. This is can be a very sensitive topic for a lot of different people. I applaud you guys for really focusing on mental health in our profession. And I've never used BetterHelp, but I've heard amazing things about it. But I just want to start off with kind of a little bit of a definition that I recently heard. And I actually have it as an affirmation written with dry erase marker on my bathroom mirror that I look at every single day. And it says, self-love is a way of life as evidenced in your relationships, your boundaries, and your self-care. It's how you arrive. And this is something that I've had to work on for many, many years. I'm almost 42. This is my birthday month, so I'm going to have a birthday here soon.
All right. Happy birthday.
It's funny. Yeah. It's funny to just be in this place of being like, wow, it's taken me 42. You know, I'm almost 42 to kind of have to go through a lot of healing because I have had a lot of trauma in my life. And I think it's a very important thing to address in our industry and continue talking about. You know, we know, as evidenced over the last decade or so, that mental health is a huge issue. Mental health struggles is a huge issue, specifically in our industry. I think it's important, especially in the veterinary technician industry, for all of us to do our own work. So whether that means therapy, I think if you have an orthopedic issue, if you have a heart issue, you know, if you have a skin issue, you're going to go to the appropriate doctor, right? You're going to go to the appropriate health. And if we're dealing with some issues mentally, which has historically been a stigma in our society, and I think we are branching, we're shifting the needle as a society to take that stigma off of mental health, but it's still there. And it's still there, especially in high performing industries, such as veterinary medicine, specifically emergency and critical care or the specialty realm, very, very high performers, where we don't want to talk about our weaknesses or are they weaknesses? Are they just part of us in life as humans, right? And I think the story just needs to be changed a little bit more in how we're identifying, discussing, and talking about it. So I go back to this definition of self-love because so many people talk about self-care, which is in that definition, right? But they kind of stop at just self-care. Like, how do you deal with your mental health? How do you deal with that? It's like, oh, self-care. Well, what is self-care? What do we define that as? It could be different for everybody. I think for my only recommendation is to know what that looks like for you. And a lot of times it's listening to my body and what I want to do in a day. If I am feeling super stressed and I had planned that I was going to go work out, I was going to go hiking, going to take the dogs for a hike, I'm going to go get some coffee on my day off, like I'm going to do some shopping, adulting, all the things. And I wake up and man, oh man, boy, oh boy, do I just want to lay on the couch under a blanket and not do anything? You know what? That may be what is needed for my self-care for that day. And I think not shaming ourselves, and especially as women, we are routinely taught ways to think about ourselves that are absolutely wrong and subpar to maintaining a healthy human psyche. And I think it does take maturity and wisdom. Age comes with that, right? So speaking to some of the, you know, younger than 25 demographic, you know, you might not be there yet where you truly understand your value and your worth as a human being, specifically as women. And I think that is something that, yeah, it's just an important conversation to have. So for me, what I do for myself, I've learned to listen to my body. I do think physical exercise is huge and eating right is okay. And don't shame yourself, you know, especially as women, we try to diet and do things all the time just to, you know, just give yourself grace, understand and listen to yourself and the emotions that you feel and understand that emotions are road signs to maybe a deeper problem or a deeper issue that keeps coming up. And that's where credentialed professionals like therapists, social workers, compassion fatigue specialists, anybody in our corner can help you on your journey. I have routinely been in therapy. Therapy has saved my life. I have experienced depression and anxiety to the point of even being suicidal at times in our industry from things that have happened specifically at work, specifically with how I was treated by certain people or things that did happen. And when I say suicidal, I never actually had a plan, but was I contemplating that, like, what's it all worth? Why am I here? Why am I alive? And I think everybody can kind of recognize that, or I think that does speak true to a lot of people. when you get into kind of some of those deep, dark places, especially again, from the secondary consistent trauma that we experience a lot in veterinary medicine, namely in emergency and critical care. It's a harder profession, I think, right?
For sure.
Any listeners who have not become aware of what the ACE score is, I think this is, and I caution to this, if you do have a lot of trauma in your background and you know that you are triggered and you don't have somebody in your corner, I do recommend diving into this with help, and that you may be triggered if you go and Google search ACE score, mental health or something, and reading about it, you might be triggered. So please just be cautious with that. Knowledge is power. We get to activate that power, right? And what we do with that knowledge. But part of that knowledge in my mental health journey and my self-care journey is really just, again, understanding that it makes me feel so much better when I know that I'm normal. This is normal what you're feeling.
Mm, yeah.
This is a normal process. It's like, it's like grief, you know, the stages of grief. Here's what's normal, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we educate our clients on some of those things, the stages of grief. But we need to educate ourselves and support ourselves. And I think a lot of us, what do you call us? Old timers?
Vintage.
Yes.
<I'm> sorry.
But essentially vintage, the same
thing. We don't like old timers. There it is.
Whatever. Us, been around the block a few times.
Well, yes.
I think it's very important, because anybody that is contemplating leaving industry, it's hard to contemplate ending a career. That's a huge life change.
Yeah.
And I think, just again, all I can say is find somebody to talk to. That could be, I'm happy for you to email me and call me. I routinely counsel people. And when I say counsel, just provide like mentorship experience, right? Just, you know, being a big mama mentor, if you will, but being able to say, hey, there's certified coaches out there. Let's move into that. Or now I think it's therapy time, right? And to not be ashamed of that. And as peers to one another, and managers, holy moly, let's not shame our people. And let's please be responsible with your human resources accountability and not tell coworkers what's going on mentally with your employees.
Right.
You know, it's a big issue that's in our industry that I think speaks to a lot of people. So again, another little teeny tangent, but please utilize those aspects, because the more that we can work on ourselves in industry and individually and personally, the more we can arrive with self-love, the more we can arrive with better relationships, albeit professionally on the clinical floor, the more we can arrive with really good boundaries where we as caregivers and as empaths, as the nursing profession, the veterinary nursing profession, we are a routinely yes men. Like, we just say yes all the time. It's hard for us to say no. And again, going back to women, especially women, or, you know, other various demographics, or based on your history and in your upbringing, and then going into that self-care and realizing, hey, I've worked 6 days this week, 12-hour shifts apiece, and they're asking me to work more. I can't. I need a break, and it is okay to say no. Kind of just to segue from what we are talking about in mental health and a little bit of my experiences and why I've created my companies and why I'm a passionate advocate for us as a profession. And moving into that subject, so to answer the question of like, what other subject matter would I want to see on your podcast, maybe more? And I would
jump way ahead.
I am jumping way ahead. Equity bullying, lateral bullying. So we'll come back to that, because I do have a list of other things. But it's in these phrases are just like interchangeable. And again, bullying in the last, I think, couple of decades, and anybody that has children these days, God bless you. I don't have children, but I have nieces and a nephew who have faced extreme bullying in their schools. But bullying is very, very real. Hazing is very, very real, especially in medicine, right? In veterinary medicine and human healthcare. And me personally, I've experienced a ton of bullying in industry, to the point where there are times when I feel like I'm being bullied out. And that's a phrase that I don't use lightly. One day, I'll talk about more of my stories. That's not necessarily going to be here on this podcast at this time. But I just want everybody to know that I am starting to learn how to speak out and not be shamed about that. I've learned and introspected, and everybody has their own thing that they're bringing to the table. And I'm not innocent in all areas, right? Have I probably bullied people in the past? Yeah, because I learned that from my life, or I've learned that from watching others on the healthcare floor, right? But man, the last 10, 15 years, you know, as you age, I don't want to say age out, as you grow in wisdom, as we experience more life, and as you experience things in life, like your father almost dying from COVID last year, or getting cancer last year at the same time. So this was all me and my story last year. What is it all for if we're not treating each other well?
Right.
What is this all for? Why are we doing this? Like, quit being dicks to one another, basically, right? We need to talk. I firmly believe we can have professional, respectful conversations. Sometimes they need to be in private, but I think anything can be said professionally and respectfully. And I think we need to stop hazing each other, stop gossiping. You know when it feels wrong. And I will speak and address specifically a lot of the younger demographic. Again, it's not just age, I don't want to throw age there, because it's anybody can do this. But again, I find people who maybe have not experienced a lot of life or a lot of traumatic experiences or adverse events or just things that they've had to become resilient over and learned life lessons through. I think it's those people that really need to be guided by us, by other people in industry, by managers, right? Do we need to be guided on how to utilize one another and speak to one another? So that's my spiel on mental health, if you will. There's so much to talk about there, but
we could have you back for May for our mental health.
Holy moly.
Yes.
Just let you go.
For sure. For sure.
Ready, speak.
For sure. You know, to kind of bring it back to Veterinary Nursing Solutions and the attending here and what have you, what drove you to start this? I mean, I think you've kind of laid the groundwork in some of your discussion already about probably what a lot of that was, but I guess really, where did this idea come from? And where and I guess also too, kind of part of that, where do you see it going?
Yeah, for sure. When I started Veterinary Nursing Solutions, it was really, I was a VTS, I was speaking a lot, I was doing these individual little training gigs, and I was like, I'll start an LLC, like put it all under one umbrella. Cool. Boop. So no crazy real business plan. But then that same year, I actually started studying business for 2 years. The main reason for me starting it, I feel still to this day, where we're driving Veterinary Nursing Solutions and the attending, anything that we do, and what I've seen is I feel like there is a lack of development on the nursing side, nursing case management, how to deal with A, B, and C on the disease, specifically disease process side. We should be learning a lot of these things in school and moving forward into how to develop nursing management plans, the key aspects of nursing. You know, we're not just meant to go check off boxes and not actively, constructively, critically think about what we are doing. And in general, across industry, I have seen a lack of that across the board. And so I think that just became a passion of mine. I was just like, wow, like we really need to dive into the nursing side of it. And that we, again, we're not just monkeys checking off a box. You know, I could probably teach a monkey to run anesthesia or to monitor anesthesia, you know, write down numbers, you know, and turn down the gas inhalant if the doctor says so. Like literally, I could probably teach a monkey to do those skills. But to run anesthesia or to run a septic abdomen case, like to know how to manipulate your sympathomimetics, to know when to rotate a case, you know, and, you know, they haven't been coupaged and nebbed and coupaged in like 6 or 8 hours and they're starting to have some difficulty breathing. Like, let's think through what we're needing to do here. That's kind of one of the driving forces of why I initially started everything. So I didn't really have a crazy key focus, but when I was studying business, one of the things that I'm so blessed about, and anybody that's out there contemplating business, contemplating going onto the entrepreneurial side, and now just working from home or doing anything like that, I really recommend like co-working spaces. You meet so many people. It's so refreshing. So many people that are outside of our industry that have so many different viewpoints. And as a side note, I think that's what we need as industry, is to bring back, like to search outside of our industry, bring outside experts in. And that's what I've been studying over the last 4 to 5 years, is all of these trends, these evidence-based methods. What are other corporations doing that are succeeding? It's like this big strategy and learning kind of realm that I've been in. not only studying business and how to develop business plans and, you know, what products to bring to market, but putting it all together. So 2020 hit, pandemic, how am I going to train people? Like, we all know what 2020 was like. So it was really, really hard for me as an entrepreneur and somebody that had a training company. So I was like, I got to go back into industry. So I went and worked full time at a job in for another company. And so into 2021, I was very fortunate enough to have my largest client fall in my lap. So I had a big corporate client fall in my lap in 2021 that I pitched, won a big bid on, a year-long project, if you will. And that afforded me the ability to kind of move more forward and focus the companies. So I still feel like my companies are still very young. Obviously, the attending, we just launched September 1. With a minimum viable product. And we are accepting beta users for January 2023. We're really, really excited because we are in conversations and designing beta user, like piloting this program and actually starting to look at following various KPIs or key performance indicators as far as our learning program, the remote live clinical training. You know, if we come in and support your hospital through remote live clinical training, how does that actually change your employees, the metrics of employee engagement and retention, and any business metrics like return on investment, what's your overall revenue and things of that nature, right? Key stakeholder satisfaction, et cetera, et cetera. Retention of learning. So we're actually not only designing pilot programs right now for January 2023 to begin. So please do not hesitate to reach out to me specifically if you're interested or you want me to try to talk to your company, your hospital, to see about beta users piloting our program, or look for us come Q2, Q3 for better product market fit, if you will, because we just need to get through testing this. But also, we are designing a study. So we're looking at doing an actual study and publishing a study. So I'm very excited with where the attending is going. Again, very, very new, just launched, minimum viable product. We already want to iterate a product, but we are a bootstrapped company on a vet tech salary. So it is quite the interesting scenario over here in my entrepreneurial journey. But with Veterinary Nursing Solutions this year, we were able to focus on, again, finishing with that corporate client project and deciding to move forward with launching the attending. I had 15 people working for me at the beginning of the year, all 1099ers, you know, not full-time employees, but all VTSs. I was probably the one company in the United States. I mean, besides corporations, okay, let's say corporations, but I felt very proud. I literally only employ or contract with VTSs. I had 15 VTSs working for me and a criticalist and a doctor. Like, it's just having that branch and ability to provide that to our clients, to our hospital clients, but also to work with such amazing team members, such knowledgeable people. And my current team, so I have a research and development team for Veterinary Nursing Solutions and the attending, and it's a team of VTSs and a criticalist. And we continue to, look at where we want to go with the company. Right now with Veterinary Nursing Solutions, we're working on productizing what we do. So like the algorithms that we bring to the table, the solutions that we bring to the table for individual consulting clients, individual training programs, we're working on, again, providing you the infrastructure of that and like selling it to you, right? Putting a product behind it, where if you don't want us to teach you through, you know, walk you through that and do everything for you, you can at least get the infrastructure of how we do it. And I think that's where I would really like to see a lot of where Veterinary Nursing Solutions goes this next year, is just being able to provide support to the industry. Because what we want to be, we want to be your chosen vendor in learning and development, to support your learning and development programs. So we want to support you. Yeah, that's where I see us going. There's other big ideas and big plans with the attending, stuff I can't talk about because we're seeking a patent right now. So
love it.
Don't give out any secrets.
Don't give out any secrets. Yeah, all the legal things. Yeah, so there's just a lot of behind the scenes work I'm doing right now, which is insane. And we're going to throw out a Kickstarter campaign. So all I can ask for the listeners is if you to read through our Kickstarter campaign. It comes out through channels, various channels like social media, through your people. Please subscribe. Even if it's just to help look at the Kickstarter campaign and get it out to your network, because we do have some big things going on. We do want to create true and lasting industry change. We are on a mission. We have the pieces behind us. We just don't have the funding. And we're ready to play. We're just in a really strategic, exciting point. We've made a lot of industry network connections. We're really excited with where we've been and positioned. There's a lot of things behind the scenes that we can't really talk about just yet. It's an exciting time. It's a scary and stressful time in our industry, but it's also exciting. And I just want to speak of that hope for people. I want to speak to the managers and say, managers, key stakeholders, decision makers, executives, and even the investors, you're making a lot of money off of our industry. And it's time to take a step back and take a big look at what's going on. We are literally dying. We are literally killing ourselves over the stresses that we face in industry. And it's time to support us in a different fashion. And that's where I find my calling in supporting businesses and hospitals to have these conversations, to provide these solutions, to talk about credentialing and title and, you know, scope of practice and how to utilize VTSs. All of the things, right? And yeah, we're short-staffed, but this is not new. And guess what? If we train up your staff, they can work more efficiently and more smoothly. If we give them the right equipment, the right tools to do their job, they're going to be more efficient. They're going to make you even more money.
And they're going to be happier.
And they're going to be happier. And so it's all of these things that we talk about. So I'm very excited with where we're going, but it's a hard road. How I describe it with my mentors over the years, you know, shout out to Ken Yagi, David Bliss. I've already said Aaron Henninger, Stephen Sattal has been a very good support system. Marie Halowaychuk being a doctor and criticalist in our industry and doing some really great things herself. All those people, I feel, and so many others out there, what you're doing. I feel like there's this big rock that we're all pushing. And the more people that are on this rock going uphill, we're gaining more momentum and we're doing this together. And we might be hitting it at various strategic points, right? But that's our passion. And that's why we all come together and collaborate. And that's why I think those communication channels need to remain open and we need to have these conversations. But at an individual level, man, speaking to everybody, every technician, any doctors that are listening, it is up to you in those moments on the clinical floor. If you were just a dick to somebody and you sensed it, go just say something to them. If you hear gossip on the floor and you're starting to participate, make those decisions in those moments to stop. It's all of those little things, right? If it's, you know, not understanding and wanting to ask a question because you're not understanding something clinically that's going on with a patient, there's no such thing as a stupid question. And you should feel empowered and supported to be in that space. And that's what I'm very proud that my company, we very much have this very supportive, nurturing training programs that we're launching. We want to teach other hospitals, other people to be able to do that. And I think that's just one of the areas that we're attacking industry and that we're able to make some change. So yeah, that's what I got to say about that.
Awesome. It's great. It's great that you have created this fantastic thing on like you said, on a vet tech salary, which, I mean, how many of us can say that we can run a business like that? That's amazing. So, you know, we're well past our hour and
yeah,
Jeff not having a power cord is dwindling power. So we're going to try to wrap up here. is there anything, I can't imagine there's anything that we haven't talked about that you wanted to get out to our listeners. Is there anything that you have for us that we've missed?
No, I just, I think just for leaders to really look at getting away from this authoritative and transactional leadership, moving into a servant and transformational leadership, and looking at what we're defining as servant leadership. Like, I know there's been some recent, just looking at the definitions, looking at truly what these are. I think just saying to every individual that there is still hope, keep at it. And yeah, man, if you feel up for it, go to our website, learnwithvns.com.
We'll post all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
I'd love for listeners to even just subscribe just so we can like email you things and just, we're not ridiculous about it. It's like a couple times a month or, you know, depending on what you want and need, but we're very educational and informative as far as what we do. And we're going to be throwing out some surveys, some more surveys for iteration on our products and iteration on the attending. So we really want to hear from you and look for our Kickstarter campaign. If you feel the need to help and donate some money, that'd be great. We're going to be giving back continuing education and stuff like that. So you'll definitely get something worth for your money. We would really appreciate it. And I know it's a big ask, but we're definitely at this place. Again, we're doing it for you. Like I'm here for you. And I hope everybody can sense that with anybody that's out there doing what we're doing, right? Same with Dave and Jeff. Like they're there for you. Like they've made this platform for us. And I think it's a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. So I know you had mentioned one or two kind of topics or ideas or people all throughout there, but what other things would you like to hear about in future Vet Tech Cafe podcast episodes or people would you recommend we chat with?
Yeah, I think, again, just more stuff on equity bullying or just bullying in general and how to handle those situations maybe, right? I think those are conversations that are always very important. Anything surrounding mental health, always super important. I thought about people and who to recommend, and I'm sorry, there's so many amazing people in industry and in our career that I think is amazing. But I don't know if you guys have had anybody from Zoo Medicine on. I think that would be very interesting.
We did.
One person. Yeah, we had Mark Romanowski on.
Yeah.
Mark Romanowski, okay.
A couple years ago. It's been a while. Yes, yeah. Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So think about that. So in my experience, I know Amy D'Andrea. She's a VTS in equine veterinary nursing. She has a very interesting company and it's called Pet Emergency Education. Straight up, I don't necessarily recommend it for professionals. I do recommend Recover Initiative Training. But if you get into one of her programs, as a professional, she's definitely Recover, she goes by all of the Recover platform, but she basically has an education and training company that teaches pet owners and professionals about, emergency medicine, CPR, first aid, and stuff like that.
That's cool.
It's a huge, super amazing for pet owners.
Awesome.
So I have experience as an instructor with her. And I think just as a technician, as an entrepreneur, I think what she has done is amazing. She would be very interesting to talk with.
Yeah, that's cool. That's different. Yeah,
super different. And then I'm always going to plug Marie Hallowaychek. I think she's doing amazing things for our industry right now. She's a criticalist. She's a doctor. Yeah. But somebody who's a huge supporter in our industry, you know, as veterinary technicians and nurses. Yeah. So I would recommend those people.
Awesome.
Cool. Cool. Yeah, we'll have to put us in touch with
those people because a couple of those I hadn't heard of before.
Yeah.
All right. Yep, so now we are down to your would you rather question. Are you ready for it? So we've switched this up and we used to just ask you a question, but now we've got three questions and we want you to pick what number you want.
Oh boy. Number two.
Okay. Would you rather go on an amazing 2-week vacation, but you can't remember any of it? Or you go on this vacation, but you have to ride a bike to get there. And it has to be like at least one state away.
I have to ride a bike to get there.
Yeah.
And I don't remember it. Let's be real. I probably don't remember half of my vacations anyway. So maybe I'll choose.
That means you're doing it right.
Let me go on a 2-week vacation, de-stress anywhere in the world. Let's just make it anywhere in the world. Can we add that?
Yeah. Anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world. Yes. And I don't remember it.
You can't remember it.
Sure. But guess what? Our bodies will remember.
That's true. That's a very good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So it depends on how we're defining remember. So probably that one.
You wake up the day after and you're like, why am I so refreshed? And where did all this sand come from?
Yeah.
I can probably take pictures and video or somebody else can go with me and they can remember. See, we can just be creative.
You're finding loopholes in my would you rather.
Loopholes, all the things.
I love it. Well, Becky, thank you so much for the time today. I'm really excited to hear about Veterinary Nursing Solutions and the attending and see where they go. We will definitely share all the materials as they come out. Certainly let us know as things do. Dave and I, while we are active as we can be on social media for this podcast, we're also not the most savvy people when it comes to
that. I hear you.
So yeah, please don't hesitate to email us or send us anything. We will be happy to amplify that and continue
Amazing.
To get it out,
because
I think it's
so
a
much.
Super cool thing. So best
thank
of luck
you.
With all of that. And thank you for the suggestions too, because I think at least in my mind, I'm starting to percolate on next May's mental health series topic. So that's also really good too. So thank you so much.
Right.
We really, really appreciate it. It was great to see you and chat with you.
Yes. Thank you. Just so much, so many thanks. I can't thank you guys enough, and I'm excited with what you're doing and excited to see where you guys take this too. So
thank you so
Love
much
you guys.
Thank
All
you.
Right. Have a All good right. one. Bye everyone.
Thanks. Bye caffeinators. You guys have a good Bye. One and we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye guys.
Hello caffeinators. We wanted to thank Dog Days Consulting for managing our social media and helping with the interior design here at the Vet Tech Cafe. They don't just do social media, they can help you identify your brand through brand coaching. The founder is a CVPM with 15 years experience in veterinary practice management. They are a small business proudly serving the veterinary community, and we are thrilled to be working with them. Check them out at www.dogdaysconsulting.com. Hey, caffeinators! We would like to thank you for listening to the Vet Tech Cafe podcast today. As everybody is well aware by now, we often talk about difficult issues that face our profession. In addition, we chat with colleagues and leaders in our field who have strong opinions of these issues. Those opinions expressed by either Dave or Jeff as the hosts, or those opinions expressed by our guests, are their opinions alone and do not represent any other person, business, institution, or any other entity inside or outside of the scope of veterinary medicine. If you have any questions relating to this, please email us at vettechcafe@gmail.com or visit our website www.vettechcafe.com. Lastly, whatever platform you utilize to hear our dulcet tones, please rate and review our podcast and like and follow our Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn pages as well to see what we're up to. From all of us at the Vet Tech Cafe, have yourself a great day.